Hello, this is Pastor Andy Roberts from Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, and we are so glad that you are listening to our sermon podcast today. You can find out more about Lake Highlands United Methodist Church by visiting our website, lhumc.com. If the message today blesses you, we ask you to consider supporting our church through a financial gift. We hope that today's message will help you become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ who loves God and loves people.
We're in our sermon series right now. This is our final week of our sermon series where we're talking about loving people. And what we've said is that loving people is really hard. Some of you know this, right? You love people that you like, but it's hard to love people that you don't like, right? And so we've talked about throughout these weeks how we need to have compassion and patience and kindness, that we need to learn how to bear with one another over the long haul. And today we're talking about maybe the hardest kind of one of all of this. So I'm giving you a little bit of a trigger warning. I'm going to step on your toes maybe just a little bit this morning, but just know that I've stepped on my toes first. I've stepped on my own toes. And so if I'm stepping on your toes, it's only because I'm a good at stepping on my own toes. So just so you know that. But forgiveness is really hard. And Jesus teaches us about how we can forgive. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'll invite you to open them up to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be reading verses 21 to 35. And if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? So then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. And so the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And then he went in and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. And when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. And so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. We say together, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray together. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us to hear what we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So forgiveness is really easy to preach about. This was an easy sermon. The problem is not preaching about forgiveness. The problem is actually forgiving people. Forgiving people is a hard thing to do. Old C.S. Lewis, the theologian from the 20th century, said it this way: "Everyone says forgiveness is such a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." How many of you know that's true? It's a lovely idea until someone hurts you, until someone offends you, until someone does something mean to you. Then forgiving someone becomes a little bit harder. And heaven forbid you do something to one of our children or grandchildren, right? Like, whew, that's when we get really angry. So forgiveness It sounds like such a lovely idea until we actually have to forgive. So in the passage of scripture that we just read, Peter, who was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, how many times should we forgive one another? Up to seven times. Now, here's the thing about Peter. Peter's brown-nosing Jesus a little bit because it was considered to be generous to forgive three times. But if he's coming and he's saying up to seven times, then Peter's saying, look how generous we are. And Jesus one-ups Peter and says, I tell you, not only forgive seven times, but rather 77 times. So what does Jesus mean by that? Does he mean we should keep a little ledger in our pocket so that when someone offends us, we pull out the ledger and we go, that's one strike, right? And then they offend us again and we go, that's two strikes. You only got 75 more, buddy. And then you're written off the list completely and entirely. Obviously, that's not what Jesus means. Jesus means by 77 times, he means forgive infinitely. Forgive until you cannot forgive anymore. Keep forgiving. And when someone hurts you, forgive again and forgive again. And then when they hurt you, forgive some more. Now, that's really hard to do. In fact, that's going to require a miracle of God in our lives to forgive in that way. It's going to require the help and the work of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to truly forgive as Christ has forgiven us. So I want to quickly just talk about what forgiveness is not. Before we talk about what forgiveness is, I want to talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not justifying someone else's behavior. It doesn't mean what they're doing is right. Forgiveness is also not just waiting, because we know that time actually doesn't heal all wounds. People say that, but it actually doesn't work that way. Forgiveness doesn't mean denying your own hurt or your own pain. Forgiveness doesn't also mean, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to confront that other person. And forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that you have to trust the person that hurt you. So what is it? Let me give you a few things here. It begins with forgiveness is remembering how much I have been forgiven. Before we can forgive others, we have to recognize the depths in which God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ. So in the story that we read earlier in Matthew 18, it says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with the servants. And so he began the settlement, and a man who owed him 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold, depending on whatever translation you're reading, was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't exchange talents. I don't exchange gold a whole lot in my own life. So what are the kinds of money that we're talking about in this particular story? Well, I did a little bit of research, and I discovered that 10,000 gold or 10,000 talents, what is that? That one talent is equal to 6,000 working days, okay? 6,000 working days. So 10,000 working days would be 60,000 days' wages, or excuse me, 60 million, I'm really great with numbers, 60 million days' worth of wages. And so to put that into terms, one commentary said that would be equivalent in modern terms of about $3 billion. Yes, I said billion with a capital B. $3 billion. And so that's how much this guy is in debt. Again, Jesus is telling us this story. It's likely hyperbole. He's going a little over the top because he wants to make a point. And the point is this guy in a million lifetimes would never be able to pay back this debt that he owed. And so what does he do? What does he respond? It says in verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees and before him, and he said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Now, we know that's not true because there's no way he could ever pay back $3 billion. There's no way he could do that. But he's in a pickle because if he doesn't pay back this money, he and his whole family are going to be sold into slavery. And so he's got a big problem here. And so he begs, he pleads, he gets on his knees and he says, please forgive me. $3 billion. A lot of money, right? Is that a lot of money for you? Okay, all right, just making sure, making sure. I will pay back everything. And look how the master responds. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Isn't that incredible? Now, some of us, we remember what it felt like maybe when you finally paid off your mortgage, or you paid off your car, or you paid off a student loan. Like, that was an incredible feeling. Some of us have no idea what that feels like. But if you've ever had that feeling where you finally paid it off, it just felt, you were like, yes, this is good. We're going out to dinner. But imagine $3 billion. You would feel amazed. You would be just blown away. You wouldn't be able to, you'd be slack-jawed. It's unbelievable that this man has been forgiven this much. And what I want to tell you is this is a picture of the gospel for us. That we owed a debt that we could never pay to God. But God in Christ Jesus forgave us all of our sins. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul says this. He says, this is from 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Listen to this good news. Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. In other words, Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins. We owed God $3 billion. And through Christ, our sins have been washed away. Isn't that good news? Can I get an amen? So we need to remember how much I have been forgiven. Second thing we need to do in order to forgive is we need to reflect on who I need to forgive. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to, because here's where this is hard. And now if I ask you that question, who do you need to forgive? For many of you, there's likely someone that just immediately pops up in your brain. You're going, yep, I know I need to forgive that person. But this is what it looks like. That person is living rent-free in your head. You ever do this? You go, oh man, if I ever had a conversation with that person, I would tell them what I really think and what you have these imaginary conversations in your head that you, what you would say to this person if you could really tell them what you thought, right? This is probably the person you need to forgive, right? You have this internal tape running in your head of some past conversation and you can't seem to get rid of it. It's just running through your head over and over again. Parents, you can explain to your kids what tape is in your head later. That's a different thing. It's old. Anyway, so, but this person is living rent-free in you. And it's sucking all the joy out of your life. You think that you're getting back at them by being angry with them, but you know what? It doesn't actually work that way. And you know this, right? I've said this before. I stole it from someone. But holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. But the reality is, if we're drinking poison, we're the only ones that are going to have an effect from that. And so that person is living in your head and it's sucking the life. And sometimes we just want to be right, don't we? We just want to be right. Maybe we were right. Maybe we were justified. But you know what? Being right sometimes will just rob you of your peace. Being right all the time is actually exhausting. If you just think, I'm right and they're wrong. And yeah, maybe. But let me ask you a question. Do you have peace? You have joy in your life, or is the grudge you're hanging on to sucking all the joy out of your life? And then number three, you need to release that person. You need to set them free. You need to just say, maybe not to them personally, but at least between you and God, I forgive that person. I forgive that person. You need to set them free. No resentment. You need to stop running the tapes over in your mind. Now, this isn't easy, is it? This isn't easy. This is a hard thing to do. So back to the parable that we just read earlier. So here's this man who he and his whole family had been released of a $3 billion debt, if the commentators are right. Anyway, but from a lot. He had been forgiven from a lot. And look how he responds. You think he would respond with generosity towards others. If I've been forgiven this much, certainly I'm going to forgive other people. But look what happens, verse 28. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins or 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. And he said, pay back what you owe me. And he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and he begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. So here's what we would imagine. He just got forgiven $3 billion and this dude owes him. And again, in modern day terminology, the amount of money we're talking about is $12,000 roughly. $12,000. So he just got forgiven $3 billion. Now this dude owes him $12,000. You think he'd be like, yeah, no big deal. I just got forgiven $3 billion. What's $12,000? I just got forgiven. But look at his response. Verse 30. But he refused. And instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a short-sighted tragedy. Because this is why this is so important. When we forget how much God has forgiven us through Christ Jesus, then we're not going to forgive anybody else. When we lose sight of what Christ has done for us through the cross, we're going to have a hard time forgiving anyone for what they have done to us. That's why living a life in light of understanding the depth of God's forgiveness for us, it's what's critical to us being able to forgive others. We forgive, why? Because Christ has forgiven us. Because Christ says, I no longer count those sins against you. I have removed them as far as the east is to the west. I no longer hold those against you, and so I forgive you. And then lastly, we have to reevaluate the relationship. In a best case scenario, once you forgive someone, hopefully you can enter back into relationship with that person. But I want to say this to you, that's not always possible. It's not always possible, even after you have forgiven someone, to enter into a relationship again. Restoration is not always possible. So how do we know if restoration is possible? Three quick questions. Would having this relationship improve my life or hurt me? Would it improve my life or would it hurt me? Would having this relationship improve the other person's life or would it hurt them? And finally, would having this relationship improve my relationship with family, friends, and coworkers? These are not easy answers, right? There's no easy way. I wish I had an easier answer for you. It's not always easy to know. But here's what I want to be clear of. We can forgive people without having to necessarily enter back into relationships with them. And so I want to make a couple of quick distinctives here between these three words. See, forgiveness is an orientation to the past. When I forgive someone, I'm saying, I'm no longer holding this against you. I forgive you. It's as if you've never done it to me before. I'm not holding you responsible. I'm forgiving you. I'm releasing you from that. But reconciliation is about a present moment. And in reconciliation, it takes two people, and you may be willing to reconcile, but the other person may not be willing to reconcile with you, or they may want to reconcile with you, but you've been hurt too badly, and it's going to be hard for you to reconcile with them. And I want to say that's okay. That's okay if it's not possible. And trust is about the future. Has this person demonstrated to you that they're worthy of your trust? Yet once again, see, forgiveness, here's the difference. Forgiveness is freely given. But reconciliation and trust have to be earned. Forgiveness is freely given. We forgive for ourselves. We forgive because it's not going to help me by hanging on to this grudge. But I forgive others. I'm letting it go. But if I'm going to enter into a relationship, then I've got to be able to trust you. we're going to be reconciled, if we're going to be brought back together, then we got to figure out how to make that work. So I want to bring it back to this moment. Earlier, I invited you to think about someone that you need to forgive. And each of you received a small little piece of paper when you came in this morning, a little post-it note. And maybe that post-it note is going to represent the person in your life that you need to forgive. I don't know who that is. And maybe you want to just write their initials. Maybe it's even hard for you to even put their name on it. I get it. That's why I didn't give you a pen. But in a couple of moments, as a step of faith, when we come down and we get to celebrate Holy Communion, I want to encourage you just to take that little piece of paper, drop it into the bucket that's right here in front of the communion table, and just say, God, I release this to you. I choose to forgive this person. It doesn't mean necessarily, to be clear, it might mean that you enter into a relationship with them again. It may not. It may be that you are unable to enter into a relationship with that person, either because of your unwillingness or their unwillingness. But we're beginning by offering this to God, by saying, God, I forgive this person because hanging on to this grudge isn't working anymore. I have to forgive. I have to release so that I can walk in freedom again. Well, let's pray together. So Jesus, we give you thanks for the great forgiveness that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you have forgiven us a debt we could never repay. But out of your mercy and out of your grace, you have loved us. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.